Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, I'm Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we visit with Erin LaFave, horticulture educator for Eau Claire County. She joins us from our WPR studios in Eau Claire. She has some tips to help make your plants get safely through the winter. And, of course, she'll be answering all of your plant questions as we move along today. So I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Erin LaFave, welcome back. Nice to have you with us. Ah, would be nice to have her with us. Erin, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, wonderful. Now we've got you on. Always a little... a few technical issues that we have to deal with from time to time, but we've got you on now, so welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really pleased to have you with us today. You know what? I've got in my refrigerator the last green pepper from my garden.
That's impressive.
One left.
When did you last pick it?
I picked it the day that we were supposed to have our first big frost. So that was about a week and a half ago, something like that.
Right.
And I picked 10. I had 10 peppers in my straw bale pepper plant. And I picked them all and I put them all in the refrigerator. And I've been slowly going through them. And tomorrow morning, there's going to be some scrambled eggs with pepper, among other things, in the mix for myself and daughter Emily.
Would you say that this is the kind of latest that you've had your peppers?
I think for the peppers, yeah. I've had tomatoes well into November, but peppers, it's kind of the end. My straw bale garden in terms of peppers just was, I was loaded with peppers. So I was really happy with my pepper production this year. How was your year in the garden? Was it pretty good?
It was good, and it kind of matches yours, where things persisted in the garden a lot longer than normal. And those straw bales probably held so much heat, and those peppers love that.
Yeah, that's probably what made the difference. Well, you know, we're not here to talk about my peppers. We're here to talk about other people. You know, this really cold weather, it's, you know, you're almost getting to the time when there's going to be some getting those shrubs and trees, perhaps young trees, prepared to survive the winter.
Right. And with the cool air temperature, but then the warming with the sun can have some issues on bark, you know, south-facing sides, especially.
Yeah. So anything, what should we be doing in terms of preparing?
For trees, especially, like I said, the south-facing and west-facing side, they tend to get really warmed up. The bark especially gets warmed up from the sun during the day and then cools down at night, so we can get some of those frost cracks going on in there. And so if you just put some, you know, white drain tiles around there to help protect that reflection going on the bark, that can help them reduce that kind of sun damage that happens throughout this throughout the winter. And so there's some other shrubs that get kind of too much sun, some sun scald throughout the winter too, on that south-facing, west-facing side. So for example, white cedar, we see that on and some of the dwarf conifers can get burnt. You know, they turn brown is what happens. They kind of die off in those spots where they're getting warmed up during the day and cooled during the night. And what happens is, you know, the plant gets stimulated. Those leaves think that it's warming up for spring, and they start, the photosynthesis process starts moving around. And for that process, they need water. So they're trying to pull up water from the roots, and there really isn't anything available. So everything just kind of burns out from that process.
You mentioned pine, and Scott and Ashland has a question relating to some pine trees. So let's go there. Scott, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you bet. This July, you know, we had a big storm, and I have a white pine that snapped off about 20 feet up in the air and landed on my neighbor's roof. Better his than mine. But anyhow, so I'm trying to save this tree, and I'm just wondering, you know, what I can do. Should I go up there and put like a cap, you know, like a sheet metal cap on what's left of the stump? You know, is there anything specifically I can do to help this tree, you know, thrive and survive?
So was it the top, the leader of the tree, or was it some branches?
Oh, yeah, the leader.
Oh. The leader, okay.
It's kind of an interesting-looking tree right about now, I'll bet, Scott.
Yeah. But, you know, I see them around here that clearly have been
broken
at the top, and they just get real bushy.
Yep, it will kind of stimulate it to put some more branches out and maybe even try to create its own leader again up there. And what you could potentially do to help it is to make sure that cut is a little bit cleaner and not so jagged and ragged, because sometimes, you know, it gets there's so much pieces sticking up that over the years a lot of debris will settle in those kind of crevices, and then it won't be able to dry out. A lot of moisture is in there from everything decaying, and then it can increase, you know, rot happening in there and other insects. So maybe you want to try to get it as kind of smoothed out as you possibly can to help with that process. But there really isn't any wound paints or anything like that that you want to put on. I would just help the tree out by getting that cleaned up and see if there's any bark that got pulled off during that process, too, and just try to clean up those areas, too, to minimize a lot of the debris and insects from, you know, having a nice little honey hole to live in.
Sure. Yep, that makes sense. I wondered if I should cut off that jagged part.
Yeah.
And then I got a follow-up question, too, or more of a comment. About 30 years ago, I had a garden near Poplar, and the forecast called for a really severe frost. This was early in September. And I had about 10 tomato plants, Romas, and somebody had told me, just go out there, pull them up by the root, and hang them up in the garage or the attic or someplace to protect them. And this was September, and that frost did not come. I was, you know, I was only 3 miles from Lake Superior. Maybe I was protected by the lake effect. But those Romas, and, you know, each of the plants was just laden with green, unripe Romas, and those things ripened beautifully all the way up till the end of December.
Yeah.
So from September, when I yanked them up, hung them upside down, they, you know, I would just go into my attic. It was kind of a cool space. I would just pick my Romas off of these plants hanging in the attic. It was so amazing. So if people don't know that, if you have Romas and they're not really getting to that point, you know, where you can use them before winter sets in, yank them out and hang them up, and I'll tell you, it was amazing. You know, I don't know if other varieties will do that, but the Romas, you know, were perfect.
Ah.
Wow, that is amazing that they went from September to December that way. It makes sense that they would do it for, you know, a couple of weeks because there's still sugars left in that stem and everything like that, so it is still coming down, but the fact that it didn't have moisture for that long is really interesting, and it's just fun what you can kind of do sometimes when you experiment with these things.
Absolutely. Scott, thank you. Appreciate the call very much. Oh, man. Sandy in Milwaukee will give you a chance. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. How are you?
Great. What's on your mind?
Well, I just had to call because I haven't done research on this yet. But each fall, my big quest is to gather as many hickory nuts as possible before the squirrels get them. This year, we have 4 mature hickory nut trees or hickories on our property.
Yeah.
And we got no nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, sometimes trees will kind of go through cycles like that where they will produce a lot one season and not a lot the next. It's just kind of a natural thing that they do. And if they were stressed from some other season, maybe they just didn't produce enough this year to get a nice crop.
Yeah, and you know what, Sandy, if you need some hickory nuts, Jill Nadeau, our producer, is kind of the hickory nut queen around here, and she's got hickory nuts, like, by the bushel baskets, typically. Is that Jill just joined us, by the way? Is that true, Jill?
Actually, they're walnuts, Larry.
Oh, and walnuts.
I do
sorry.
Have them, and our trees were not as good as our have been in past, so I can relate to that. So.
Well, hickory nuts, walnuts, whatever. we're not going to talk walnuts with Jill because we've got another thing to talk about. This is our Wisconsin Public Radio year-end membership drive, and Jill's here to help me tell you about our single largest source of funding. You know what it is? It's listener support. And that means that in this season of giving, your gift is very important. So I hope you'll take a few minutes right now to support the programs you count on with your year-end gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And last hour, Larry, we heard from 19 listeners. So thank you for those pledges. Now this hour, we have a goal of 30. So these hourly goals, they're really important. They help us stay on track financially so that we can keep the discussion going strong on Wisconsin Public Radio. So take a moment right now. Support the programs with your gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And what does public radio mean? Well, it means listener-supported radio, doesn't
absolutely.
It?
And we obviously appreciate their business contributions and, of course, the federal and state dollars. But listener support is our single largest source of our budget. So your contribution of any amount really does matter at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And since we've launched our Sustainer program, we've had thousands of members make that switch to provide a steady, reliable stream of support to WPR. They make automatic monthly gifts. And that security comes with some benefits, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Like, you don't have to remember to renew your membership.
Because that's a good one.
It is. I mean, we've got so many things to remember. And this just automatically rolls over unless you say stop. So become a sustainer today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And you can start with a gift of $10 a month or whatever it is you choose to do.
Here at Wisconsin Public Radio, we've been partnering with food banks throughout Wisconsin since 2010 to help those facing hunger. President and CEO of Second Harvest Food Bank, Dan Stein, explains the statewide need and how your gift can make a difference in your community.
What we're finding is whether it's rural or urban, the percentage of people in need is pretty similar. Nearly 700,000 different people sought help last year and struggled with hunger. 1 in 8 that live here. 1 in 5 of those are children, and that means about 250,000 children across the state struggled with hunger sometime last year.
This drive, when you give $5, $10, or $20 a month, consider asking for a food bank thank you gift. It's your chance to do two good things at once.
That's really a cool idea. I love that food bank idea, and it's a chance to have a food bank in your community, as a matter of fact.
That's
help
right.
When you make that contribution. So make your donation. Make it in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau, here to raise the money that keeps this station and this program and Garden Talk on the air. And maybe your pledge is $5 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. We certainly appreciate and count on your gift.
You bet we do. And giving to WPR is really easy. It just takes a few minutes of your time. And you can do a gift of any amount. So $5, $10, $15, whatever works for you.
And that donation comes back to you every day in the form of great programs. So I hope you'll show your support at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
And you know, Larry, you're always learning something on the show, and so am I, and I'm sure so are you. And a couple of weeks ago, we had someone on that was talking about master gardeners, and I had no idea that listening to Garden Talk is considered a continuing education credit. So that just goes to show what a valuable resource that Garden Talk is to listeners like you. And you can enjoy Garden Talk whether you're an expert or a novice.
And we have some of the best gardening resource people in our state right here to answer your questions, like we have today with Aaron. You get a lot of help, I think, from this program. And your questions, whether maybe it's fruit trees or maybe it's organic gardening or rose bushes or so many of the other topics, apply a little fertilizer to the program right now. Make your pledge of support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Help pay for the programs that you depend on. Now, we are looking for, we need 28 more pledges, Larry. We got to get going here. And we have about 40 minutes to get them. So we'd really appreciate it if you would call. Support this program if you enjoy it. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And kind of the cool thing is that you're making a voluntary donation and you're deciding how much to give. And because how much you give, it's not as important as the fact that you do give, to be honest.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we've all been in a place where we can't afford to give a whole lot. And, you know, we give what we can and we appreciate everything. It's your choice. So because WPR is something that you value, you'll probably find that donating feels really good. But find out right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Many new members just give $5 or $10 a month. You decide what's right for you.
And after you've made your donation to WPR, you know, another good way to help is by telling friends and family as well.
I think that's a great idea.
I like that idea.
Whether you use Facebook or Snapchat or whatever the kids are using these days, mention it when you see them, when you talk to them. Just let them know that you support WPR. That's going to help plant that idea in their mind. So make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And then let your friends know how good it feels when you support the station you enjoy every day.
Well, Jill, you may be good at collecting walnuts, but we're not collecting a lot of contributions
Larry.
Here right now. We have 27 more pledges to go in about 26 minutes to get those. So your gift right now at WBR.org or at 888-202-2552 really helps.
And I know people are listening, so get to that phone or get to that internet. This pledge drive, you actually have a chance to do two good things at once. You can choose one for the food bank gifts when you give $5, $10, or $20 a month. So give now, do two things. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Great time to become a sustaining member. Easy to set up, convenience, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or from your credit card. So get started right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thanks if you've already contributed. Next week on Garden Talk, nationally known horticulturist Tova Martin will be back with us. We'll talk about indoor plants as well as take your general gardening questions. So hope you can join us for that. Right now, we got a great expert for you, Erin LaFave, horticulture educator for Eau Claire County. And we're talking with her about all kinds of things relating to trees and shrubs and the garden and the winter and cold weather and what to do about it all. So join in, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And let's take a call from Jim in Montello next. Jim, thanks for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Larry and Erin. I have a question about an old apple tree that's only about 6 inches in diameter, and it's a tall, tall tree. And the reason it got this way is it survived in the woods among aspen trees. And now the aspen trees were cut about 3 years ago, and the foresters left any of the trees that were good for the critters, so they left my apple trees and my oaks. So here stands this apple tree that's about 25 feet high, probably pretty darn old for its diameter. It's only about 6 inches or less in diameter, but it's producing these wonderful, big, crisp, sweet apples. I just can't get at them. Can I take that apple tree and just whack it off at about 6 feet and hope it'll sprout new branches and become a producer for us if I keep the other trees away from it?
What do you think, Erin?
Well, usually when we say about pruning trees, we don't want to take more than a third off at the same time. And your experiment is quite risky considering there's only one of them. So, you know, this there might be some pruning you can do, like I said, but you don't want to take more than a third off at the time. So you could do some pruning this year to see if you can kind of shape it in a way that you can get to it better. And then each additional time you prune, maybe you can just keep shaping it. But I don't think I would whack it down that much, just because that would be a real big stressor on the tree.
And usually when you're talking about pruning, you're talking about taking out branches as you go along. It sounds like this one, Jim wants to just whack the top off.
Right. You're just trying to get more access to it. I just don't know.
The trunk is like a telephone pole. I mean, it goes up about a good 15 feet before it ever starts to branch, and the branches are kind of vertical because it survived hanging on by its toenails all those years among the aspen and the maple and the other things that have now been taken away, and it has free rein with the sunshine. But, I do have other trees similar to it that are sprinkled out through that woods and have basically the same apples on them. I have no clue where they came from, probably 50, 70, 500 years ago. So if I lose it, I lose it. It has its toes in moist soil. Sandy soil, gravelly, in Shawano County, but it is on an area where the water sort of flows generously under subsoil.
Yeah, and now that it has ample access to light, it might start doing different things. It might start producing, maybe it would start producing lower branches. It'd be very rare, but it's so tall and skinny like that because, as you said, it was really stretching for that light, and then when it finally found it, that's when it probably spread out like that.
Yeah. You hate to take away that access to those leaves that can get light, too, in a way, don't you?
Right. And like I said, maybe now that it has access to more light, it might start doing a little bit different things, growing a little bit more robust in some areas than others.
There are a few branches that start out at about, 6 or 8 feet. They're maybe 3/4 to an inch in diameter. And I think they've grown in the last 2 or 3 years, but I suppose they grew before that because they go basically right parallel to the trunk and they're trying to grow up. Mm-hmm. Can they be bent to the side and shaped?
They can be trained to go up a little bit more, or sometimes even when people are training their apple tree branches, they'll either put weights on them to bring them down just a little bit, or they'll make like little forked sticks, to hold up the branch a little bit to kind of train it a little bit. Mm-hmm. We do have some publications showing how to do those kind of training techniques. You probably could find some pictures online where they do that too.
Yeah, but that's at the Learning Star. Do we have those publications?
Yes, we have one. I think it's the Pruning and Training Apple Trees publication in the Learning Star.
There you go.
So, okay, thank you very much.
It's learningstore.uwex.edu. That's the site name. Or if you put UW Extension Learning Store in the search engine, I'm pretty sure it is going to pop up. Well, if you are listening in and have a question maybe about something that happened this past summer or spring or summer or fall, I hope you'll join in. Maybe you've got a question about varieties, or maybe you've got a question about a tree or a shrub in your lawn. I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mealer Show. Love to hear from you. Aaron, in the Eau Claire area, northern Wisconsin, what kinds of problems did you see this past year?
Pretty good. In terms of insect and disease, we didn't have as much as we normally see. We did have powdery mildew come about mid-season pretty hard on some of the squashes and things like that. And that was due to excessive rain. Yeah. And then we had some high humidity. I had some complaints about tomatoes not ripening very fast. And
that was true across many parts of the state, actually.
Yeah, and peppers not setting fruit as soon as they usually did. But for the most part, it it was pretty quiet in the disease and insect front. They were still there. It wasn't. It just didn't seem as tough as normal years.
Yeah, as bad as awful as normal. Bob in Krivitz, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I just wanted to comment when the man was gentleman was calling in about an apple tree.
Yeah.
Okay. My home is right across from Terry Andrew Park from the Wildlife Refuge, and on Manning Road. Okay. And I cut off an apple tree about 15 years ago. And it was, you know, these trees were planted about 100 years ago. Okay, my house was built in 1878, so I'm pretty sure the age of the tree. I cut them down to the stump about the height of a chair, and I built a scarecrow to sit on top of this one for our garden, just for the heck of it, when my kids were young. Okay, since then I took off the scarecrow, and the apple tree is producing apples like crazy. It's about 15 feet high right now. I don't pick them at all. I let the deer eat them. And it's been producing for, I would say, about the last 10 to 12 years. And every year it produces, and it's loaded with apples.
Well, you never know, do you, Aaron?
No, and some of those ones that have been in harsh conditions left alone, you know, they can be the most robust sometimes because they've learned to just deal with anything that comes their way.
Well, it just surprised the heck out of me because I had no intention of doing that. You know, we put a garden in that area, and I wanted the shade, and this tree looked like it was dead, so I just cut it off and left the stump there. It's been producing for at least 15 years every year, and it's loaded with apples.
Oh, man.
So, okay, that's my only comment.
Thank you, Bob. Now, I'm not recommending that for everybody else to go out and cut your tree down. That's just the way Bob did. But sometimes, you know, that's the fun part about gardening, isn't it, Aaron?
Yeah, nature can surprise us sometimes, and if you're willing and able to do a little bit of, you know, fun experimenting, and sometimes we don't even know we're experimenting.
There you go. Kathy in Winona, Minnesota, thanks for calling.
Sure. Comment on the last caller. We cut our apple tree down last year because it was hollow in the inside and it hasn't come up back, so I hope it does. Question. I have got a Christmas cactus that bloomed. It's a fairly large size one. 4 blooms this year. I've got a friend who's got, there's 2 plants in her pot. One is going to bloom soon, and then the other one is probably a couple of months out, and one's going to be pink and the other's going to be white. How does that happen? Mine were pink.
Yours were pink. Okay.
And she's going to have pink and white, and I'm wondering, how do you get white blooms?
White blooms.
Totally white. I've seen it. I saw it last year.
I would imagine that's just a different cultivar that is out there. I don't have any ideas of how to change that, like with a soil pH issue or change in light with some flowers. You can do that with, but as far as I know, it would just be a different cultivar that she got that was, you know, bred that way.
I didn't even know they had cultivars that way.
I could take some of her, you know, cuttings or something and get white, do you think?
That's possible, to do some sort of propagation with it, yes.
And they're not that bad, are they, to propagate, Aaron?
No.
I've never done any asexual propagation with them where you take like the leaf or a stem and do something like that, but I'm sure you could try like a rooting hormone with it or,
Yeah, I'd give that a try because I bet you could get it to go. Good luck, Kathy.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. We should have asked Jill Nadeau because she is the Christmas cactus expert as well as everything else she does around here.
And it's in my job description when I got hired.
Your job description. That's right. That was one of my first questions to her. Do you know about Christmas cactus?
And she said,
Christmas cactus? Of course I do. She knows a lot of things, and she also knows about our year-end membership drive. That's why she came back to us. Your financial support is the foundation for all the great discussions you enjoy on the Ideas Network every day. So I hope you'll make your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Well, Larry, I'm happy to report we're doing a little bit better since we were here last, but we still need 21 more pledges, and we've got about 24 minutes. Now, I know our listeners can do it, so I'm going to leave it in their hands. So if you want to help support WPR, keep us strong, and help pay for the Larry Mueller Show. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying this conversation with Aaron LaFave, our horticulture educator for Eau Claire County. Every Friday on Garden Talk, we bring in an expert, often from UW Extension. Our horticulture educators do a wonderful job. This hour is an example of the, I think, the informative, important, kind of quirky conversations we have on this show.
That's right, Larry. You never know what we're going to be talking about. So now, if you could just take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible, choose a gift that works for you and make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, and if you've been listening to WPR for a while without pledging, maybe you haven't given because you didn't know that we are listener-supported. Certainly we are. We are the single, you are the single largest source of our funding, our listeners. Maybe you wanted to listen a while before before you decided to give. See what it was like. Kick the tires a little
bit.
Well,
guess what? You're still listening. All these months or sometimes years later. So how about giving us a little donation now? You can give us a gift of $5 or $10 a month or whatever that you choose. It makes a difference. So please go to WPR.org or give us a call at 888-202-2552.
Your donation is an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in programs that deliver great value to you.
That's right. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. WPR is a great value. Of course, it's free if you can't afford it, but I find that donating makes me feel better because I'm supporting something for people who maybe can't donate right now. And if you are a donor, I really think it's important to become a sustainer. You never have to worry about, oh, God, should I write the check this year or not? It's there, it's ongoing, they've got it in the pocket, and then you've got all that good stuff in your ears.
Consider becoming a sustainer with a regular monthly gift. Visit WPR.org to get started now.
And I've got a new slogan here. We've got 20 and 21. We've got 20, we're in need of 20 contributions in the next 21 minutes. So 20 and 21. Pretty soon it'll be 20 and 20. Or maybe it'll be 19 and 20 or 19 and 19. Pledge right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. And we're asking for your support during this year-end membership drive. And, you know, all kidding aside, you know, whatever your gift, if it's $10 a month or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that, you know, that's the right amount.
Absolutely. And WPR is your radio station. You come here for discussions about ideas and whether it's something, you know, something small that you can use in your own personal life or something big that could actually change history.
I don't know if we can change history with the hickory nuts, but I'll tell you, we can give it a try here. Your whole day can be changed by something you hear. That's kind of the power of great radio. Programs like this one you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio provide a lot of great information in kind of a fun way, I think. And that's the power of your support.
Absolutely. Look what Johnny Appleseed did.
That's right.
This is your opportunity to be part of the radio service that you and thousands of other people rely on. So make your difference. Give now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now we have 20 pledges to go in 19 and a half minutes, so we're going the wrong direction here.
We are.
Need your help right now. I tell you what, we're looking for 20 pledges, as I said, in 19 minutes. Make your gift to support the programs you enjoy and rely on every day. And this is a vote for Garden Talk, too, by the way.
Absolutely.
Your pledge right now is a vote for Garden Talk at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, or maybe it's for another program. You're going to make a difference no matter what.
Well, and you know, maybe some people are saying, I'll pledge next time. Well, this is it. Today is your last chance to pledge your support for this show during our membership drive this time. So if you like our show, we would appreciate it if you could do that.
I usually talk myself into pledging every single dollar. talking about what we need and everything. Okay, I will write another check here. Don't delay. Join the community of people like me who come together to make great radio. I hope you'll pledge now. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And if you're already a sustaining member of WPR, thank you. Your ongoing monthly contributions, they provide a reliable stream of funding for the programs that you enjoy.
And as you reflect on the things that you've added value to your life this year, take this opportunity to increase your monthly support, maybe by a few bucks a month. We're happy to help you do that. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And Larry, we need 19 more.
19 more, and how many more? 18 minutes.
18 minutes. Well, theory works, we should be right there. So
your pledge right now, so important, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thanks if you've already contributed. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Erin LaFave, horticulture educator for Eau Claire County. Lots of callers online with questions and comments, so let's go right back to the phones. And Mary in Appleton, thanks for waiting. Hello.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about covering blackberries for winter protection. We planted some this last year, and they've done very well, but they're ones that get their fruit on old wood. And we've protected the base from the mice and the voles chewing them off. But now, is there something we can do about the wind and so forth?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you could kind of create a wind barrier where the wind comes out of, you know, the strongest in your area, that would maybe help protect them a little bit from some of the cold.
What kind of barrier would you suggest?
So, like, if you had, like, a burlap or something that you could create some sort of wind barrier. You know, we used to say to wrap shrubs and things like that, but you want to keep some air space between the plant and the barrier so they're not touching, because
okay.
that just transfers cold
okay.
in there. But what happens is sometimes those tips get a little bit too cold, and then they'll you know, die back. But maybe a wind barrier, and I say where the wind comes out of in your area, because there's, you know, different microclimates in our
right.
in our areas, and, you know, there could be a building or something that is
okay.
makes the wind shift a little bit.
All
but
right.
How tall are they?
Well, right now they're about 4 feet.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was going to say maybe you could add a little bit of mulch at this point to kind of bury some of that to protect them from the cold as well, the
okay.
thawing and freezing situation.
All right. The top would be like a real loose wrap, burlap, or something like that.
Right, just to kind of protect them from
okay.
the real cold winds and drying
okay.
out. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And Pete in Germantown, on to you now. Hi, Pete.
Hi, good morning. How are you today?
Great. Appreciate the call. What can we do for you?
I got a question regarding apple trees and some fruit trees. I have one dwarf apple tree, the suckers are coming up on that thing just terribly. And I was wondering if there's something I can do about it. You know, I cut them back, but by the end of the year, they're taller than the tree.
Yeah, are they coming out the base of the tree mostly, or up on off of the branches?
All from the base of the tree.
Okay. Yeah, there's nothing you can do to prevent them from coming up. It's just natural that they're doing that. Do you think the tree is stressed in some way that because sometimes they come up when they're stressed like that?
It gets plenty of water. It's on a slight hill, so, I mean, it's good drainage. It's not sitting in water.
Yeah.
It's got good soil. It's mulched in good.
Just one of those trees that likes to sucker.
Do you keep the mulch... Do you keep the mulch away from the base of the tree?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's just normal part of the tree. They, you know, other trees do that too. And, I mean, apple trees and fruit trees are notorious for sprouts like that. So just prune them off and keep up with it.
And if I put some kind of barrier around the base of the tree to keep it from getting sunlight on that section of roots, they're coming out right where the graft is. Would that slow them down or stop them? I cut off their sunlight.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
No.
No. In fact, sometimes, and I asked about the mulch. Yeah, in some instances, maybe it would make it a little bit too stressful for the tree.
Yeah, you know, and unfortunately, the tree, when I bought it, the place I bought it from said it was a certified suckerless rootstock that they put on it, and I'll tell you, the suckers are growing better than the tree.
Well, you know, that's one of those situations. Of course, you probably don't want to take the tree back, but I'd certainly mention it. I'd go back to the source there where you got it from and tell them about it. Wouldn't you, Aaron?
Yeah, I'd just see if anybody else had reported that the trees were doing that too. And sometimes trees will do that too if they've been buried a little bit too deep, but it sounds like things are being done as much as you can do.
Well, you're doing everything you can, Pete, short of taking it out. So I that's the other alternative, I guess. Go back to the company and say, hey, look, this isn't working. What happened here? But I appreciate the call. Thank you so much. I want to give Mary in Dodge County a chance to join us. Mary, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. The reason I called, the lady was complaining about no hickory nuts. People have forgotten we had a really bad frost. I look back on the calendar. It was the 15th of May. So there are no acorns, no hickory nuts. We didn't have any mulberries and no bittersweets. And so that did really affect a lot of, you know, fruit-bearing trees and shrubs, too.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Mary. Comment, Aaron?
Yeah, I remember around the state it was kind of patchy. Some areas were getting hit by that worse than others. So it could definitely well be from that. And also, wasn't it the last year at this time it was so warm and then things were kind of swelling even in December because we had such a late snow, and that can kind of affect things too. But definitely that frost that we had could have hit that area a little bit harder than some.
It hit it really hard here. The other thing, what's going to happen to our lilacs that have already started blossoming this fall now in November? The lilacs, plus we have all the, you know, the buds that opened and we had green leaves. So this warm fall weather, November weather did not help a lot of plants like that too. And a lot of those other spring plants were greening and blossoming when they shouldn't have.
I often wonder if that's a stress for them for the next growing season, just wondering if they used up some stores of energy that they should have had for the winter, and hopefully maybe, you know, the winter won't be so hard on them either, but that's you know, a concern, and they might need a little bit extra, you know, watering next growing season, so just something to keep an eye on.
Thanks a lot, Mary.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Cheryl in Berlin, it's your turn. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you a funny story about my Christmas cactus.
Okay.
It's about 12 years old, and I keep it in the spare bedroom, and it doesn't get much light. So this summer, I thought, I've had enough of it. I don't care if it dies. So I put it outside on the deck, on the west side by the deck box. Never touched it, looked at it, watered it. Guess what? In the middle of October, I brought it in the house, and it had 100 buds.
Well, that's, you know, they like to be mistreated, I think, don't they, Aaron?
It thrived on neglect.
I've heard stories like that several times where people just got so tired of it not blooming or not doing it well, and they neglected it, and that's when, you know, it really shot up. And plants will do that sometimes, too. When they're stressed, they'll kind of give one last chance to try to send out their seed. And so that could be it, too. But
next summer, I'm going to do the exact same thing.
Why not? Why not? Although you might not get as much rain next summer, right, Cheryl. So keep that in mind, too. But they really don't require a lot of moisture.
No.
No, for sure. Thank you. That's a great call. Well, they're all great calls, matter of fact. Mark in Madison, your turn. Hi, Mark. Thank you for calling.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for my call.
Sure.
This past fall, in the spring, I planted my pumpkins. I have about a 1,200-square-foot area for a pumpkin patch, and I had maybe 40 different mounds of pumpkins, and they all came up. The lines came out. It was just full of pumpkins, and all of a sudden, I noticed this little bug on the leaves, And within a couple weeks after, you know, the pumpkins came up, they started growing. And then all of a sudden I noticed all my leaves dying. And I noticed this bug on them. And then once they ate all the leaves, they started going to the pumpkins and ate all the pumpkins. And I looked like it was a squash bug, if I'm not mistaken. I just took a picture of it and looked online. Do you know how, why that would happen or how I could get rid of those?
The squash bug, were they kind of like a blue color?
I've got a picture of them. But when I took a picture of it, then I went online and looked at all different bugs for vines and plants. That's what it looked like.
Yeah, there is a squash squash bug that does eat a lot of on the fruit for sure. And then there's the squash vine borer that kind of gets into the vine, but that makes it wilt and look terrible that way. So there are some things that can be used for the squash bug, and
some chemicals or
right. Yep, yeah. And you gotta really watch for them, because when they come out and hatch, and you actually can see their eggs on the underside of the leaf. They're kind of like a bronzy color, and they're easily you know, taken off with your thumb. But when you've got such a wide area like that, I'm not sure you could do that by hand. But there are some recommendations that we have in our publications on that.
Yeah, that's a good advice. So take a look at the publications at thelearningstore.uwex.edu. Jill Nadobak with me, and Jill, my new mantra is 6 and 6, because we've got...
I was wondering, now we're down to 4, though.
Oh, we had 4 and 5, and it was getting up to 5 here, because we are in our fall, our year-end membership drive, of course, as you've been listening, you know that very, very well. Jill Nadeau with me here. You count on WPR for in-depth talk on the issues. We count on you to keep those discussions going strong. Your gift right now makes a big difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
That's right, Larry. So we're at -4, basically. We need 4 more to make our goal. I knew
4
our
and
listeners.
5.
Yeah, I knew our listeners would come through for us. So give to WPR to support the station that you love, your public radio.
And thanks to everybody who's already contributed. If you haven't, you can now help pay for the programs you enjoy, especially a program like Garden Talk. Make your contribution right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
At this time, each weekday and on Saturday morning with Garden Talk, we take a break from the news and from politics. We focus on advice topics, the outdoors, interesting things that are going on at the university here and in the state, health issues, finances. All that good stuff.
And, you know, well, here today we've talked about pumpkins, and we've talked about Christmas cactus, and we've got a question coming up about apple scab. I mean, and taking care of your trees and shrubs now, as we're into this, a whole variety of information. It's a great recipe, I think, and there's a not-so-secret ingredient to this winning recipe, and that's listener support.
That's right, your support. You make the program possible when you give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Yeah, maybe you're interested in playing a larger role as a Wisconsin Public Radio supporter. The 9XM Leadership Circle is a growing group of listeners. We've had several join during this drive on this show. They've contributed $100 a month or more to support WPR programs.
That's right. And the Leadership Circle members, they just want to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio programming will be here today, tomorrow, and into the future. If you'd like to increase your support for WPR by joining the 9XM Circle, just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You've accomplished a lot this year.
So a big accomplishment this year is we went on our very first family vacation to Mount Rushmore, and it worked.
As far as big accomplishments this year, probably the biggest one, my wife and I bought our first house.
Well, one of the things I've really wanted to achieve in the last year is I really wanted to become a better cook.
I got to sing the national anthem and the halftime show at Lambeau Field with my chorus the night that the Packers beat the Bears.
End this year with one final accomplishment by supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Your tax-deductible gift makes the radio service you rely on possible. Make your year-end contribution to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, my new mantra is three pledges in two. Three and two. We got three pledges to go in 2 minutes. Come, help us out here. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your pledge during this year-end membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau, and we're, of course, asking for your support. Your gift, $10, $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Right, and a big thank you to our sustaining members, because with our ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card, you have a big effect on WPR's funding, making it much more stable.
You probably find that the automatic monthly payments are easy to fit into your budget. In fact, now's a great time to increase that gift by a few dollars a month. If you haven't done so already, just go to WPR.org. or phone 888-202-2552. And Jill, we're at 3 and 1 now. Three pledges in 1 minute
we need. Come we've got to have a couple more pledges here.
Yes.
We want to make it. We want to be successful here. Wisconsin Public Radio provides access to so much that the world has to offer. It's so amazing. This kind of exposure really makes a difference in your life. Now, you know that. You get news and information. You need that, all that you need to stay informed. And the conversations that make you think, along with really great music and entertainment that can help you relax.
Now we're down to two. We have two more here in the next.
We can do it.
Whether, and you know, you live in a small town, maybe you live in a big city. When you listen to WPR, you're in our global public square, hearing from artists, reporters, and experts in the forefront of their fields. And you know, you appreciate this access to the best the world has to offer. I hope you'll make that pledge. Right now, we're going to be going away for the news for a few minutes, and then Aaron LaFave will be back with us. But if you haven't pledged right yet, we still have one more to go. Be that one. Go right now to WPR.org, make that pledge, or phone. Do it right now, 888-202-2552. News next. You're listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest Aaron LaFave, UW Extension Horticulture Educator for Eau Claire County. Great to have her along. And we're not going to pledge right now, but just to say we now have a dollar-for-dollar match for the last 23 minutes or so of the show, up to $2,500 from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. So you're going to be doubling your gift every single time during the next 20 minutes. So I hope you'll do that. And, you know, how do you do it? You call 888-202-2552 or go to WPR.org as we visit with Aaron LaFave. And join in with your questions, too. Connie in Grant County has something for us, Aaron. Let's go there. Hi, Connie.
Hello. I have a question about someone talked about hickory nuts.
Yeah.
And we have quite a few hickory nuts in Grant County, hickory nut trees.
Yeah.
And we love the hickory nuts, the fruit themselves. And lately, the last 2 or 3 years, most all the hickory nuts, when we pick them up, the nut looks fine, but then when you go to crack them, there's a little hole in it, and there's like a little maggot that's inside that eats the meat. And so how do you prevent that, or what has happened?
Now,
we used to have numerous. We pick them up by the buckets full.
Yeah, that's a nasty little surprise to get, Aaron.
Yeah, there's many different kinds of insects that are crawling inside nuts, you know, when they're not as hard, and they're getting in there and wreaking havoc. I'm not sure which kind is in there, but I would imagine that it would require an insecticide spray to be put on those trees really early on to keep those critters out of there. But usually they're eggs that were laid by the adults, and then the juveniles or the larvae are inside, and then they burrow their way out when they're done.
Oh.
It appears that, you know, they are probably laid like in the blossom. What would be recommended to spray the tree? I know the trees get so tall, it'd be
impossible.
It would be a task.
Yeah, and there are some soil drench treatments that are used for certain things, too. But if you're going to consume those nuts, that would be another issue, just to make sure that you had the appropriate pesticide that you could use for the tree after you, and then eat them. In terms of which kind of insecticide, we would have to determine which insect you're dealing with. So we would need a sample on that one.
Ooh. And so if you can get a sample or get a photo of one and send it where, to the extension office, right? Erin?
Well, what county did she say she was in?
Grant County.
Okay. You know, I'm not sure you have a horticulture educator there. So you could send it to our Wisconsin horticulture page that we have, and we have a contact form there. And what happens is when people put their information in there, then it goes to the nearest horticulture educator who's able to help with those issues. But it does go to somebody, and we do respond to those.
And certainly the insect diagnostic lab at the UW, if you type into that, you can go directly to P.J. Leash, and he probably would have a pretty quick answer, I would think. Wouldn't he, Erin?
Right, and that would be who I would send that picture to as well if I had a hickory insect question come my way, too, because I don't get those too often in my office. So he helps with all those other, unique things coming in.
You might just send him an email. Even if you don't have a picture now, you could send him an email and start a little conversation with him and just go to the UW Insect Diagnostic Lab. If you type that in, I don't have the number off the top of my head, but P.J. Leash is quite used to receiving those kinds of questions, for sure. Good luck, Connie. Thank you.
I have a comment to make.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
You was talking about starting a Christmas cactus.
Yeah.
And I have a Christmas cactus that my uncle had for years and years and years. And so his daughter, when he passed away, had started me a slip. And so I wanted to start a slip for my daughters. And so I took a couple of pieces and I stuck them in some soil. And they weren't doing, they just stayed green. They weren't doing much. So I took them out and put them in outside by the house on the east side, and I just left them for the summer. And when I brought them in, lo and behold, they bloomed beautifully and they're looking wonderful. So you can do that. You can just stick them in the soil and they will propagate.
Good for you. Thank you, Connie. I'm really glad you had that extra comment. Why not give that a try? Thank you so much. You can join in, too, by the way. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. We have open lines. Get you on really quickly. Dan shot us a note. I think he might have emailed us. Yeah, he emailed us. He's planted about two dozen 2 to 3 foot tall hazelnut trees over the past couple of years. Had problems with either deer or rabbits eating off the tops, leaving nothing but this treeless stem. Will those trees come back, and what's the best solution to protect them going forward? Should I use a chemical animal deterrent, for example? What do you think, Erin?
Well, those animal deterrents usually need to be put on every time it rains. So in this, if it's close by, he could do something like that. But I think a little bit more of an easier solution would be some sort of fencing that would fence in these hazelnuts so that they can, deer and such can't get into them. So, you know, you might need a 8-footer for those deer. But if the ones that have been eaten, as long as there's enough leaves on them now, they should be able to bounce back.
It's amazing when you go to places where there have been heavy deer infestations, sometimes they build exclosures, what they call, they fence around, and it's amazing what the inside of that enclosure looks like when the deer haven't had a chance at it.
Exactly. We have some community gardens in Eau Claire that have put 8-foot fencing around them, and it helps a lot to keep them out.
Chris in New Auburn, your turn. Hi, Chris.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I just recently moved up from Milwaukee up to New Auburn, and I brought all my peony plants and roses with me along to transplant up north, and I just wanted some help on getting them through the winter.
So you've transplanted them this last year?
This fall. Yeah, it was like in September, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so they're already in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you probably have snow on the ground, because I was going to say you could do some mulching around their roots to help them with regulating that kind of temperature throughout the winter. But as far as, since there's already snow on the ground, I'm not sure that there's too much you can do, but you could maybe for that rose put, like I had mentioned before, put some sort of barrier around it so that it can be protected from the wind. And again, don't let that, you know, burlap or whatever you use touch the plant, but you just want to kind of enclose an area around it for some extra protection.
And you're going to be getting, what, 5-6 inches of snow on Sunday from the sound of it.
I've got that rose already inside of a cone. You know, it's covered up and you know, protected that way. But I'm more worried about really the peony bushes. We got them from Holy Hill, and they're really, you know, they're kind of important to my wife, and I want to make sure that they don't get, you know, ruined from the winter. Yeah. We've got a real mold problem right now too, and I try to keep the molds away from there as much as possible, but that's really an issue as well.
Yeah, especially if you put a lot of mulch around it, you're just giving them a nice little place to hide.
Yeah, for sure.
Aaron, for the peonies, anything else we can do there?
No, I don't think so. You know, they're already died back pretty good. There's, you know, no green things that are still left up. And if you, next year, you know, they might have a little bit of trouble. So don't expect too much from them since you just transplanted them in September. They might not bloom, but rest assured that each additional year they'll get better and better. I had some experience with this, putting some peonies in late, and they came back next year, but they just weren't as robust as they were, but they eventually came up nice in the additional years.
Yeah, there we go. Good luck. Thank you, Chris, for calling. And I think all that snow is actually going to help.
Right, that'd be some nice insulation for
really
them.
Nice insulation. Bill in Madison up next. Hi, Bill.
Hey, yeah, I'm looking at this snow coming, and I wonder if there's any upside to throwing some grass seed on the bare spots in my lawn and then just letting it get covered with the snow, and then maybe in the spring it would come up.
Well, you could do that. The one issue that there is with that is that when the snow starts to melt, then and you have a frozen ground, pretty much, that seed might get shifted around from the water that melts from the snow. So you might get kind of some patchy, you know, patchy areas coming up where maybe you didn't put as much seed that you wanted and vice versa. So that's the kind of downside of that.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, probably it's not going to hurt anything if you've got some seed already. I would, you know.
Yeah. I don't want to keep it over the winter anyway. So
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bill, for calling. John in Houstonsford, your turn. Hi, John.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have an interesting problem. I'm a very, very successful tree transplanter and grower on my rural acreage, and I purchased 25 Colorado blue spruce, and I put them all in, and I put them in correctly in the spring of the year, and I've had tremendous success with I've even been able to transplant oaks, and all of my Colorado blue spruce just died off. And I don't know if I should just pull them out. Maybe they'll come back, and they just look terrible.
Oh.
Yeah, if they're just brown and there's no green left on them, then they're not going to come back. If there's some spots that are looking good on the top, then maybe they will.
I was thinking maybe it was something in the soil, but I ruled that out because I planted them several hundred yards from each other and in 200, 300, and 400 groups. So I thought maybe it was a soil problem. I ruled that out because wild trees that I transplanted grow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And they need a lot of water when they need frequent watering when they're transplanted like that. So did they get enough water?
Well, most of them are kind of an hillside, and it's very, very wet. Actually, it's wet all the way through June. With groundwater on my location there. So I'm thinking, yeah, they had plenty of water. Everything else grows. The weeds grew just fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's potential they got a little too much moisture and they had a root rot problem come. And then they actually almost get too much water and they those root rots come through and damage their roots and then they actually can't get enough uptake.
So you, would you estimate that there could have been some problem with the trees I ordered from a catalog? Is that a possibility? Maybe some mold or something on them? Or
It's hard to say because we have so many different organisms already living in the soil and they're just waiting for a particular host or the right environmental conditions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's hard to say. You could contact them and just ask and see if there was any other people who reported the same issue.
Yeah, I would do that for sure, John. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Kara on Facebook wonders, she's planting a male, she wonders if she needs to plant both a male and a female cherry tree in order for to get fruit. Is that true?
Ooh, I'm off the top of my head, Larry. I'm not sure about the cherry trees. You know, we don't grow much for cherry trees here in Eau Claire because they just do not last very very well.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Now, we do have a publication on cherries, don't we? I think there's one. Be worth a look anyway on our Learning Store website or our horticulture website. It'd be worth taking a look at anyway to see. Boy, I tell you what, we cover a broad range of things, don't we, on Garden Talk? And, you know, we don't always have answers to every single one. But Erin LaFave has always done a wonderful job, and it's always great to have her with us on Garden Talk. She's the horticulture educator from Eau Claire County. And I don't know if Jill Nadeau has any cherry trees. Do you have any cherry trees?
I don't. I wish I did. I love cherries.
I don't have cherry trees either, so I wish I could help out on that one, but I really can't. What we can help you out with, though, is letting you know about our year-end membership drive. It's your chance to support the WPR programs you count on every day. They keep you in touch, informed, and interested. And your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 really will be help. It's a generous match, by the way, too, haven't we?
That's right. We've got up to $2,500. And just to let everybody know, we got 33 new and returning members last hour.
We made the 30.
We did. Thank you so much for those pledges. We really, really appreciate it. And that match that I was talking about is from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association, and it means that they'll match every dollar that you give.
It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting WPR and Garden Talk. You can double your support for the programs you love if you give right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
So you've been listening to this great conversation that we've had about cherry trees and hazelnut trees and hickory nuts and all that other kind of stuff. Well, today's show is an example of all the fun and information and the really substantial conversations that we have here. So if you could just take a few minutes and make this show and many more shows possible, give a gift to WPR, a gift that works for you. Make a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe your WPR listening is worth $4 a day to you. You can become a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle. 9XM members are listeners who contribute $100 a month or more to support WPR programs, and I'm pretty sure we had at least one in the first hour of the show today. It really works out to less than $4 a day.
Really, when you think about what you spend $4 a day on, right, Larry?
Mm-hmm.
And think about the value that you're getting from WPR and now in the past year, and actually consider making a contribution that puts you in the 9XM Leadership Circle. Make your leadership gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Here at Wisconsin Public Radio, we've been partnering with food banks throughout Wisconsin since 2010 to help those in need. President and CEO of Second Harvest Food Bank, Dan Stein, shares the universal impact of hunger.
In the lines that we see veterans, we see seniors, we see people with physical ailments, we see families. There isn't one category, but the one thing they have in common is they're all struggling.
this drive when you give $5, $10, or $20 a month, consider asking for a food bank thank you gift. It's your chance to do two good things at once.
You can make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau, here to raise the money that keeps the station and this program on the air. And whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we really appreciate and we count on your gift.
We certainly do, Larry. And we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. So your gift of $50 turns into $100, and then $100 turns into $200, and so on. So why don't you take advantage of this match? Double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every week we hear from a different guest expert about one of your favorite pastimes, gardening. Some guests are horticulture professors who can answer a wide variety of general questions.
Or sometimes we find people that specialize in lawns or trees or vegetables or fruit trees like we were just talking about. So support this program where you get so much gardening information all year long with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
4 minutes or so to go, and we have still $1,280 up there. Ooh. As part of that matching grant. You're part of Wisconsin Public Radio's community of listeners. Maybe you have been for a long time, and now you can be part of our community of members, people who support the programs they value.
That's right. It's a pretty cool club, isn't it, Larry?
I can show you the secret handshake to get shake to get into the 9XM Leadership Circle.
Okay, show it to us right now.
Somebody asked me for that at one of our meetings, meetings. What's the handshake?
Oh, you didn't show it to him, did you, Larry?
I said, are you a 9XM member? He said, I am.
That's right. Well, then you have, that's what
I
you
had
have
to, show
to
it.
Do. That's right.
It involves both hands, and there's a little twisting involved.
Oh, I'd like to see that myself, though. So. Well, if you've never given before, you might want to start with a pledge of $5 or $10 a month. So you can pledge for any amount. If you want to do 9XM, awesome. If not, you know what? Start with $5 a month. It all starts with your gift and you going to WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552.
And, you know, why should you give right now? Well, because you're listening right now.
Exactly.
You're thinking about it right now. You know, it's the right thing to do, isn't it, Jill?
It absolutely is the right thing to do. And you know what? You'll feel good when you do it. Because WPR is an important public service. And you'll be making an investment in quality music, entertainment, news, talk.
And we use your donation. I think we use it wisely. We put it into the programs that you hear every day. You can support this station you value right now, double the amount that really that you contribute because of our matching grant. All you have to do is go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And I don't really want to leave any of that money on the table.
No, absolutely not. And you know, the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association has been good enough to give us that extra money, so let's take it. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR because they know what a great effect that Garden Talk has for them. So double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you're saying to yourself, well, I'll pledge next time. Well, this is it. Today's your last chance to pledge your support for this show during our membership drive. We've only got a couple of minutes to go to reach our goal, and we're stuck. We haven't moved in a long time. Don't delay.
That's right. Stop listening to us. Go to the phone right now. Don't delay. Join the community of people who came together to make great radio. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And, you know, here we're going to have to go away here in about 30 seconds or so. And you still have time to meet that matching grant goal. So I hope you'll do it. If you've been thinking about contributing, now is really the time to do it and double your pledge. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. I want to give a big thanks to everyone who's contributed. If you haven't done it yet, here's your chance. You can double your pledge. WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.